Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. You know, the ongoing harassment of Saturday Night Live actress Leslie Jones by Twitter users who railed against her role in the all-woman remake of Ghostbusters took an even more sinister turn last week. If you haven't heard this, Jones was the target of a hack that resulted in what appeared to be nude photos of the actress posted on her own personal website. One of my next guests says this type of harassment, commonly known as trolling, is so rampant it's becoming almost routine and is turning the internet into, quote, a cesspool of aggression and violence. He's Time Magazine columnist Joel Stein, and he wrote a cover story about internet trolling for the current issue of Time titled Why We're Losing the Internet to the Culture of Hate. Welcome back to WNYC, Joel. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
And we are also joined by Debjani Roy, Deputy Director of Hollaback and co-founder of HeartMob. They're both organizations dedicated to ending harassment in public spaces. Debjani, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much.
Joel, how common is the sort of trolling that Leslie Jones has been experiencing?
Pretty uncommon. If you're not kind of an outspoken person, particularly a woman or a member of kind of a minority group, you may not even encounter this much. But when it does land on you, it can land on you very, very hard. And if it lands on someone you know or you hear about it, it might cause you to self-censor just out of fear of it.
Debjani, you think women and minorities are most often the victims of trolling?
Absolutely. From our online platform, HeartMob, which provides support to victims of online harassment, we see that women, people of color, LGBTQ-identified individuals, particularly trans-identified individuals, are disproportionately targeted. We also know through our work here at Hollaback on street harassment that we are targeted for doing the work that we do.
For example, how, if you want to say?
Sure. So when we launched HeartMob, we received rape threats and death threats. I did a vlogging series with my colleague, and we received comments, all sorts of derogatory comments, particularly focusing on my race and ethnicity, really vivid descriptions of how people would sexually assault me. And it looked like it was a bit of a competition or a game that was happening where people were trying to one-up each other in terms of the ways in which they would want to violate us. So it's a range of verbal comments all the way to real-life threats.
And this plays into the first line of your article in Time, Joel, I think, in which you wrote, this story is not a good idea, not for society and certainly not for me, because what trolls feed on is attention. And this little bit, these several thousand words, is like leaving bears a pan of baklava. Funny but not funny.
Yeah, that's as close as I can get to funny. I'm happy with funny, not funny. Yeah, no, it's definitely been gamified, the harassment of women and minorities and others. I mean, it, you know, I think there's a weird prankish element to all this where people kind of gang up on someone and it's very towel-snapping, frat boy, you know, immature. So yeah, there's a weird – the culture of hate has never been kind of fun. And now I think the people who we would consider misogynists and racists are, in, you know, having a sense of joy to this that they probably didn't have before.
Listeners, anybody out there right now ever been the victim of trolling? Or maybe you're a troll yourself who wants to make a true confessions call. 212-433-WNYC if you've been a victim or a perpetrator of trolling, or you can present a question or say anything else to our guests, Debjani Roy, Deputy Director of Hollaback, and Joel Stein, columnist for Time Magazine. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Debjani, can trolling ever be noble? Some people might say when a social media mob harassed Martin Shkreli, the guy who last year was brashly unapologetic about his company's decision to increase the price of a drug commonly used by HIV patients, Daraprim, from $13 a pill to $750 overnight. And by the way, he's been public defending the makers of EpiPen just now. But, you know, some people would say Martin Shkreli deserves it. So is there a difference between people who deserve it or don't deserve it, or is there just a line of behavior that people shouldn't cross, period?
I think there's a difference between trolling, harassing, and then having disagreement, discourse, and discussion. I think we've moved away from disagreement and having noble or civil conversations online, and we've moved to hurling insults and sending threats. I think, you know, a lot of people say that the criticism of online trolling is a criticism of open conversation and free speech. I think there is a way to have these kinds of conversations where you can criticize someone and disagree with them without calling them names or threatening their lives, which is the real problem, that online harassment does permeate into real life. These online threats do impact our day-to-day emotional well-being and mental well-being as well, particularly younger people. So I say let's not move away from conversation and disagreement, but let's certainly move away from the name-calling and the threats.
Do you think some kind of regulation is needed to better address online harassment, Debjani? Or can this be done in the private sector by sort of shaming people back or whatever?
Well, when you're a victim of online harassment, there's often nowhere to turn. A lot of us might report it to the online platforms who are working on their systems and their reporting mechanisms, which are not up to snuff at the moment. But some people who feel that permeation into their real life, they don't necessarily know what to do. You can call the police, you can call the FBI, but they don't know what to do either. So there needs to be more guidance on safety planning. I've worked in domestic violence for a very long time. There needs to be more guidance on what you can do in real life if it impacts your real life, so you can seek the safety that you're looking for.
How do you see the Leslie Jones case, by the way, Debjani? Is this, you know, just people who are somehow made insane by the idea of replacing Dan Aykroyd with a woman in Ghostbusters?
I think a lot of these people online have fundamental feelings that women of color specifically don't deserve equal respect, equal humanity, equal sense of dignity. And I think a lot of the feelings and opinions of people in real life is showing its ugly head online. This isn't just something that's happening online. This is a move that we're seeing where people are feeling more confident and saying very negative things about women of color, LGBTQ folks in real life as well, as we see with street harassment. So it's definitely a continuum of behavior. And yeah, she's been targeted specifically because she's a woman of color, and we see a lot of women of color suffering in very significant ways. But that's a greater problem, I think, we have culturally and societally.
Erica in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Erica, you've been trolled?
Yes, I have. I made the mistake of making a comment that I did not agree with legalizing marijuana, and that was just like, it just led to like a avalanche of negative comments. So I found out, don't ever speak negatively about marijuana legalization.
and a public.
So I learned that lesson.
Was it a Twitter post?
It was on Huffington Post.
Oh, you had made a comment on an article?
Yes, because, you know, everyone was commenting, oh, it's a great idea. I said, no, it is not. I said it leads to so many negative things. So that was my mistake.
But how bad was the reaction to you? Was it just people disagreeing with you, or if you're going to call it trolling?
It was that they were going to find out where I live, and they were going to come there, and I don't know what I'm speaking about. I said, I do. I'm a psychiatric nurse, and I know what I'm talking about. So, you know, I just had to eventually just close my my Huffington Post account down.
Because that's too bad.
It was never ending.
And
it
sounds threatening if they said they're going to find out.
I was afraid they would find out where I live, so I just said no. I just closed that account down, and I stayed away from commenting about anything after that.
Erica, that's such a shame that that's the end of the story, but thank you for sharing it with us. And Joel Stein, this is an example, for one thing, of how you don't have to be a public figure like a movie star in order to be a victim of trolling, and how sad that this woman has been chilled from expressing her views on anything publicly because she's afraid people are actually going to come to her house.
Yeah, we did a poll in my article of Time.com writers, and you know, we asked them a couple questions like, have there been things you chose not to write about because you were afraid of being harassed online? And have you ever thought about quitting the profession because of online harassment? And the numbers from our female writers were huge. And so, yeah, there's a silencing effect for sure. And, you know, people who are more sensitive or are more vulnerable or both are speaking out less and less on certain platforms. You know, I know NPR got rid of their comments section, and I think this is kind of why they did it. They didn't have a solution to this problem other than just to end it.
Shari in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Shari.
Hi. I just wanted to thank Deb Johnny and Hollaback in general for helping to elevate awareness about women and their treatment in this society in terms of harassment in open spaces. It really elevated and brought the whole thing to a new place in evolution for all of us socially. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Shari, thank you very much. What's swatting? Deb Johnny, are you familiar with that? I guess it's one of the tactics that trolls use to reach beyond the internet.
Yeah, I believe it's when trolls report that there's some sort of illegal activity, like a bomb being created in your home, and then the SWAT team comes and knocks on your door and does a raid. I know it's impacted some people in our community, and it's very dangerous and threatening, of course, because a lot of people who don't know how to deal with that sort of a situation, which is most of us, don't know what to do. They don't know what the protocols are. So there are people out there who are providing guidance on what to do if this, in fact, happens to you.
So Joel, that's one of the things that, in theory, our caller Erica might have had to worry about if people trolling her did find out her address?
Yeah, that's something that's not just done to kind of vulnerable groups. That you could be just playing a video game as a 16-year-old boy and someone somewhere else just wants to, you know, take the trash talking to another level, and possibly because they're a teenager and don't know better, they think this will be really funny.
Let's see if we can get sneak one more in here. Lisa in Brooklyn, we have about 20 seconds for you. Hi, Lisa. Can you do it in 20?
I'll talk really fast because I'm a native New Yorker. One, I don't generally post very much, and it's self-censorship, and that's a very chilling effect of this because I don't want to be subjected to this, and I think there's far more of this than you see. One way of dealing with this is that the people who run websites where there's any kind of discussion need to do the work as moderators in order to prevent this from happening, and there are people who write very knowingly about this, who have experience doing this. One is John Scalzi for his website. One is Teresa Nielsen Hayden of Make.
And Lisa, I'm going to thank you very much. Joel, get a last word here. Is moderating comments pages a key?
It depends how much effort you can and want to put into this. I mean, you know, as with all these things, whether it's hacking or when you have mobs of people doing something.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, you know, Facebook's done a pretty good job, and Snapchat, for various reasons, has done a good job. And, you know, Reddit and Twitter
Joel
and
Stein
other places have not.
From Time, Deb Johnny Roy, Deputy Director of Hollaback and co-founder of HeartMob. Thank you both so much.
Thanks a lot.